You're listening to Way Out on the Wing with Wildus and Worm. Make sure you listen, like, and subscribe on your podcast channel. Let's rip. Robert Shaw is no stranger to the fans of Tasmanian footy. From the playing fields of Sandy Bay to the soaring heights of AFL, Shaw has left an indelible mark on Tassie footy, both as a player and a coach, and his passion for the game shines through every step of his remarkable journey. With a wealth of experience and deep understanding of Tassie footy, Shaw's insights are almost second to none. From the fierce rivalries to the storied history, he has witnessed the evolution of the game firsthand. So we sat down with him to discuss the Tasmanian AFL license, the new stadium, and just how we can make this team the best it can possibly be. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened by this incredible journey through Tassie footy and just where our great state is placed for the final frontier.
Wildus, not many bigger supporters of footy in Tasmania outside Robert Shaw. Now, while he's led the way for Tassie in defeating the Vics in the State of Origin, he's been picked in the Tassie Team of the Century in 2004 and was named as an inaugural inductee in the Tassie Footy Hall of Fame in 2005. What he's probably being known for now is one of the loudest and staunchest supporters of our Tassie AFL team. Robert Shaw, it is great to have you on Way Out in the Wing.
Good evening, guys, and wherever we are.
Well, where are you at the moment, Robert?
I'm in a place called Swan Bay, which is on the Bellarine Peninsula near Queenscliff and Point Lonsdale. For those people, I sort of semi-retired down here and a bit of a sea change in my life. So, it's sensational.
Now, sure, it's obviously been a pretty big couple of days in Tassie football and stuff. What's your take on the recent announcement of the AFL team and the subsequent stadium sort of that is unfortunately sort of attached to it, and where we go from there, we'll wait and see.
Yeah, there's a couple of parts. Obviously, it's pretty euphoric that we've got in, well overdue. We all know that, but look, we've got to really put that behind you now, because being over here for the majority of my life since I was 17, I've never been far away, Will. I've never really, my family's still there. My nephews are still there. My sister. And I've got a great passion because that's what I was brought up in. And I could not see why. I can understand why, because the focus of the commission in the early days was to go into the northern markets. And you can judge them how successful that has been. But, it's overdue. But I tell you what, the feeling now lasted. It's like a win when you have a win on the Saturday and you wake up the next morning and you're playing Collingwood at the MCG next week. Your attention very quickly turns to the coming weeks. And it's going to be a monumental logistic exercise to nail this.
And you think that we're well and truly capable of doing it, but also no doubt you think we deserve the opportunity. Should it have come 40-odd years ago?
Yeah, look, deserving is out the window now, because deserving, you had to prove about the business case. That was the first thing the AFL will look at. But deserving and history and culture, we're equal with the four southern states. West Australia, South Australia, Victoria and Tasmania started this competition. Well, Tassie started in 18... So, mate, we're about 150 years too late. But, look, it's going to be a very big ask. It has to start with the chairman, I feel, and I hope that's Peter Gutwin. I hope he has a strong board representative of smart people, smart Tasmanian people, people from the AFL, and it's a great working board that can make the decisions on what I think will be the key to this, and that is the staffing of the personnel to run the team. It's going to be really, really, really important that you get the right people in the right places for the right reasons, and not because someone wants to come down to Tasmania because his ego or he wants to run a show or he thinks he's important. We have, you know, Will, you blokes know what we're capable of doing. And if they get the right balance and the right passion, we're starting off a club from day one. We have a magnificent opportunity here to do something very special, very authentic, and very, very local. And it's going to be very exciting, but very daunting.
Shorey Worm here, mate. I love following you on Twitter. I love seeing your passion that you're about, especially for obviously Tassie footy. I saw one of your responses that said you personally, you weren't interested in a footy ops manager role or a director of football role, but something you would be happy to do would be on a almost like an advisory board, helping with that initial setup. You've mentioned the importance of that stuff earlier. Do you think we should be focusing, and you mentioned Peter Gutwin, not Goodwin as Damien Barrett calls him, but do you think we should be focusing on getting qualified Tasmanians in those roles, in that key admin role and the staff, or do you think the best people possible?
Best people possible, the door's open. I could give you a name of 20 Tasmanians equally qualified as anyone in Australia. You know, what's Brendan Bolton going to be doing in 5 years' time? Zane Littlejohn from North Launceston, an outstanding person in development in the AFL, huge reputation. You go to Brendan Gale. You go to Jack Riewoldt, who will retire at the end of the year. What's Graham Birchall doing? What's Rodney Ead going to do? You know, can he be in some sort of coaching advisory? Hamish Ogilvy over in Adelaide, head of development, national recruiting, list management. Mate, and I haven't got a list in front of me. They're just rolling off the top of my head.
Are they people you think will come back given the opportunity will have to be enticed back?
No, I'm answering your question. Do you think it should be Tasmanian people? Well, there's eight Tasmanian people that you can put up against anyone from anywhere in Australia. Now, can you get them back? Do they want to come back? I saw Jade Rawlings, Brady's older brother. There's another one, Brady Rawlings.
Yep.
You know, huge. You know him, Will. You know, he was in our year. And a huge experience. Yeah. Like, it just goes on. And I'm telling you, these people, don't get carried away, oh, I worked for the AFL. You know, a lot of these people are myths. A lot of these people, you know, really rate themselves. But these Tasmanian people really rusted on. They've all of us have got a great passion, and they can do the job. Do they want to do it? I don't know. But there are the people that I would go to and target first because, number one, they're qualified, right? That's the first thing.
Yep.
Number two, the bonus then becomes they know the people, they know the area, you know, they've grown up in the areas, they know the towns, they know the footy clubs. What a great combination that would be.
I know you're pretty passionate about the junior pathways or the junior development stuff, given like you obviously had a wonderful role at Brighton Grammar and coaching the juniors there, and I know it's a passion of yours. Is there a role there for Robert Shaw in the new Tassie club?
I think I got asked before. I'm past that, and I haven't got the skill sets now because it's continually evolving. Look, I don't know. Now, I think my value now with my experience would be, and I think it's pretty important, I'm not trying to get a role because it would be a volunteer. I just think if you have a board and you're setting up a football club, that's what I would love to do. Like someone said, a director of footy on the board. Yeah, I'd love that. But I'd also like to be part of a committee of experienced people. You've got myself, Rodney Ead, Scotty Clayton, these sort of blokes that have been in the industry for 40 years but have a historical and passionate connection. So, look, I'm not putting my hand up. You know, you've got to be invited, But you did ask me, and that's my answer.
I think we'd be stupid not to
tap into that,
Gahana, your knowledge and experience. And I think that would be very remiss of whoever's in whatever role is not to reach out to someone like yourself to learn a few bits and pieces from your experience. Hey there, thanks for being with us for the new season. We appreciate how busy you all are with work, family and footy, and hope that Way Out in the Wing brings a little bit of ear candy your way across your working week. Look, we are here to connect, debate, critique and celebrate everything that revolves around local footy in Tassie in a meaningful but often light-hearted manner. Without the dry presentation and cookie-cutter one-liners that you come to expect and see in everyday mainstream sport. But if you've got something that you think we should be discussing, pulling apart or championing, we can do that pretty well, please let us know through our social channels at Way Out Wing or head to the website www.wayoutwing.com and drop us a line in the listener's mailbox and we'll get straight back to you. Hey, just remember, Way Out in the Wing, fun and free in season 2023.
Shorey, you can sense your passion, and we absolutely love it. That's why we started this podcast. How do we transfer that passion of, you know, your generation, our generation, into the younger Tasmanians, and specifically into the culture of that team? You know, culture is a word that's bandied around a lot. You know, I suppose noting a lot of players will probably come from interstate. You know, how do we instill that Tassie attitude into the team and the club?
Well, that's the thing. People that know the town, know the people. Someone said, what would be the first thing you could do? And like, I know it's sort of a little bit, not flippant, but a little bit field. Imagine putting the first squad in a bus and going to these significant places, like going to Queenstown and learning, having people that played there. And then all the way down the northwest coast and learn about Ulverston and learn about where Baldock went back and coached Latrobe. Then you go into North Launceston, out to Scottsdale. And it would be a logistic nightmare. And for some of the young blokes who don't greatly care about the history, but you have to impart the knowledge of where you're living. You have to impart that knowledge. People are very aware. And people will be surprised how many people want to come to Tasmania. It's the same reason I want to go to Geelong. People want to get out of the bubble. Go and live in GWS in 1.5 million people in the middle of metropolitan, or go and live, you know, down at Clifton Beach or down at Sandy Bay or someone. And, you know, you, as Jack Riewoldt said, if you want to have a farm, you've got a farm. If you want to live in an apartments on Salamanca, you've got that. It's so variable. And to answer your question, that it's important that you have the Boltons and the Ogilvies and the Gales and these sort of blokes to impart that knowledge. I think one of the, and I'm not talking bad of the past, but, you know, previous CEOs of AFL Tasmania, you know, catapulted into these roles without knowledge of the culture, the area, the towns, tried their best, but in the end, they packed up and went home.
Do you think then that, I heard you mention something recently about the Essendon Football Club, about the change in lingo of not playing at the club, but playing for the club. Is that what we're trying to tap into?
Yeah, you're not playing at a club. If we can play for Tasmania, for the club, and I don't think it's that hard to do. It'll take a lot of talking and a lot of education and a lot of people with passion that'll just rub off on people. And that's why you just can't send a troop of people from the AFL and say, you're the CEO, you're the footy manager, you're the list manager. You've got to get that balance. So everyone you speak to, you know, whether it's Matthew Armstrong or Robert Shaw or Rodney Eade or Scott, you know, you're always talking to someone that knows the people and knows the town.
I agree 100%.
And the other thing is you've got to engage. You've got to engage with the community. You can't be – we're an elite competition, but you don't have to be – and I'll mind my words here, Cliff. You don't have to be an elite club. You just be a footy club, a great footy club. You're not going to have a great team, but you can have a great club.
Yep.
And there's no better examples out there. They laughed at Tassie when they came into the Sheffield Shield. And, you know, you can get a – and out of that came – two Australian captains, Ponting and Payne, a vice captain in Boone.
Bailey. I mean,
Tim Bailey. Tim's from Lauderdale. And no disrespect from Ropey. Ponting was from Mowbray. Bernie from, Bernie went to Launceston Grammar, of course, but so did George. But yeah, understand what I mean. They won three shields and came runner up twice. No better example of culture and people than the Jack Jumpers.
100%. And that's that something,
now,
yeah.
And they all wear the same colours. They've got the rose, primrose and green. They always have versions of the same colours. But the culture, people came down to play Sheffield Shield cricket and they stayed.
Yeah.
And they had a great culture. People come from America to play basketball for the Jack Jumpers, love Tasmania. I don't think it's as hard as what it sounds, but you've got to preach that culture. And because of Ponting and Payne and Boone and Coach Roth and all these people, they preach the language of community. It's us. You know, what a magnificent theme that the Jack Jump got. You know, defend the island.
Yeah.
Wow. They have been absolutely magnificent. Mate, we've all been bitten by one, haven't we? Who plucked that name, the Jack Jumpers? Look, it's just every kid in Tasmania has been bitten by one. Simple.
Sure.
And they pluck that name. It's just superb. So we've got a great lead in there. It's a theme to follow. And we've got to look to cricket and we've got to look to basketball.
Sure. You hit a couple of things on the head there. I think, as you say, it's a community and the Jack Jumpers have done that really well. And I think we're in that unique position where we aren't playing for the club, you know, we are playing for a state. It is going to be Tasmania. It's unlikely we're going to get the 20th license and have another team. So, you know, unlike Western Australia that's got two teams, and unlike South Australia that's got two teams, we're going to have one, and I can't foresee that changing. They've given us one in 140 years. They're not going to just give us another one. So I think we're in that unique position where we can really do that. I did see that yourself, very traditional in your thinking around the side, you didn't want to see any what you called Americanization, as you put it. What do you think some of those...
You can destroy it. I've seen some very good designs. I've actually got one I might actually text to you. But I go through the websites and people are putting up designs of jumpers and all that sort of thing. I used to be 100% on the original jumper because the historical nature of it going back to, and that... But I understand the argument against, so I'm on the fence.
Just for clarity, sorry, you're talking about the map.
Jumper.
So that's a question of mine. Do you think the map of Tassie should be on the Guernseys for home and away
games? It should be on the Guernsey. Yep. It should be on the jumper, and the colours should be the traditional colours because with our research in that, 1908, a meeting in Hobart decided that the Tasmanian colours for football would be rose, the dark red, primrose, the yellow and the dark green. And there is no reason why they should not. They have to stay the same. If you're talking about culture and engagement and you're a kid going to the footy, I don't want to go and watch lightning bolts or some bird of prey or some weird colour that I'm looking at my jumper going, what's that? What, Mum, what's that jumper mean? Whereas if you look at a simple version and it's a footy jumper. I think we've got a great opportunity to be authentic and identified. Kids want to look at that jumper and say, Mum, what's that? Oh, right, now I can see the map on the left-hand corner. It's got a beautiful stripe down there. The back looks good. We might even play in black shorts. And you know, what a wonderful opportunity to be something traditional and original. So I'm on the fence. That'll be a board decision. It could well be also a community decision, as is the the club song and the club emblem, like the Devils is there, the Tigers is not, that's cricket, the Jack Jumpers is not, because, so once again, Will, if we really stretched our minds, like the Jack Jumpers, there could be a fantastic emblem out there somewhere that no one's thought of, and it's so obvious. Like, people laughed at the Jack Jumpers, an ant. It's a stroke of genius. Yep. So there might be. I'm happy with the Devils.
Yeah, right?
Because it's ours. It's ours. It belongs to Tasmania. It's in a log on the back of up on the northwest coast, out the back in the bush, and they're everywhere.
I think that's a lot of the community sentiment there. That the Devils is quite clearly the front runner at the moment, but it might take that little stroke of genius to pluck something out that people go, wow, that's. That's incredible. That resonates with us, and
you've got a tiger. You've got a tiger.
Do we have to find one of those first before?
No. We'd have to find options, and I would take it to the public. I'd take it to the Mercury, the Examiner, the Advocate, and come up with a name.
What about just the Tasmanian Football Club? We've got the Collingwood Football Club, the Carlton Football Club. Why not the Tasmanian Football
but
Club?
Collingwood are the But Collingwood are the Magpies.
Yeah.
The Tasmanian Football Club would be superb.
Havis is the Devils.
I think so. And I'll tell you what, they don't want to be beaten by Americanization and something abstract. And if I have anything, if I have 1% saying it, I will fight to the death for people and kids, our kids, to go along with the footy and say, I like that jumper. To identify with that jumper. That's our Tasmanian Football Club jumper, not some, grey and orange of GWS. I don't know what that means. I don't know what bright red and bright yellow of Gold Coast means.
Yeah, I think the colours, the colours are a given. I think everyone in Tasmania knows those colours belong with the state, and it's going to be the way. I did see a couple of good Guernsey designs with the Tassie logo in the middle and the stripe down the front. It looked.
Have you seen that one? Going around.
Yeah, I just showed Will a photo of it that you've made a comment on. It looks fantastic. And then the white.
I'm trying to locate. Some kid put it up. I don't know whether he's a kid or a uni student. It was on a website called Big Footy under Tasmanian Jumpers, and there was just some that were disgraceful, and all of a sudden this bobbed up, and the bloke sent it to me, and I just said, that is it. That is the best thing I've seen. I actually photocopied it and put it on A4, and like it's got green socks. You can still put the dark red on the top of the socks. You can widen the stripe. The map's fine. And it identifies with us, but it's not our state jumper. Has to appease those that are very much against using our state jumper. And you know what it looks like? It looks like a football jumper.
It does. And that's arguably the most important thing. And simplicity is often the key, isn't it?
Carlton Footy Club, Essendon, 150 years of tradition. They've got a black jumper with a red sash. That's it.
Hey, have you subscribed to Way Out the Winger podcast yet?
Yeah, of course I have. I've subscribed to all of them, even the ones we haven't made yet.
What do you mean, the ones we haven't been made yet?
You know, the ones from, like, the future. Just staying ahead of the game, mate.
And how much work did you actually do on the podcast?
Oh, I do all the important stuff, like coming up with ideas for TikTok dances.
TikTok dances?
Yeah.
That's not even related to the podcast.
Well, hey, it's all about social media presence, Worm. Get with the times, mate.
Right. Well, if you want some actual content, check out Way Out the Wing on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Way Out Wing. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast for some real footy talk.
And maybe just a few more TikTok dances. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Now, Shorey, speaking of Essendon, you were drafted there. You coached Fitzroy. You coached Adelaide. You assistant coach back at Essendon. You're a Collingwood supporter. We won't get to that. But are you canning them all? You'll be on the back of Tassie, won't you? Tassie will be your team.
Did you say I'm a Collingwood supporter?
Is that not correct?
No, when I was growing up, I was Carlton. In Tassie, I was Carlton because my dad came. No, the Collingwood connection's my cousins, Ray and Tony.
Ah, right. Well, I had it.
Now you got me.
So I thought I had you on there at saying you're a Collingwood supporter. I'll have to go back on the research there.
Cut that out. Carlton boy till I came to Essendon.
I think that might have been thrown in there just to stir you up a bit, Shorey.
Well, look, I mean, it's easy to work out my age. I'm in my mid-60s, right? I came to Essendon when I was 17. That means I've been an Essendon member for 50 years and I'm a life member. I think I've done enough.
Exactly.
That'll do.
Exactly. Mate, it's a 17...
My grandkids are members. They go to the game. They go with my daughters. They've got a connection with Essendon. But they'll come to Tasmania with me.
As a 17-year-old then moving to Melbourne to the Big Smoke in your career, you've no doubt obviously seen James Sicily's comments about young blokes moving back to Hobart or potentially not moving back. What were your thoughts on that?
It's hard to educate the ignorant. It's like really, as you know, boys, when you fly in to play Hawthorn versus Fremantle, right? You get on a plane at Tullamarine, you fly in. You get picked up the bus, you go to the motel, you have a meeting, you have a player's tea. Then you go down to York Park and you have a training run. You get back on the bus and come back. You go to bed, you get up the next morning, right? You go for a walk around town, stretch your legs. You get on a bus, you go and play, right? Then you get on, you might stay over and go to Barngoogle and play golf, come back, get on a plane, go home.
Yep.
So he's seen about 2 square kilometres of Launceston.
Often on a Sunday afternoon with nothing open.
On a Sunday afternoon. No, there'd be heaps happening. And I know we're allowed to. We can have a lend of ourselves because we know exactly what we mean. It's a little bit quiet, right?
Yeah.
So that's all he's seen. And it just made a – look, he's a developing captain. He's a bloody good player. But it just pulled the wrong rein. And I heard Eddie McGuire on Footy Classified the other day said, oh, Jack Riewoldt, you know, it's all right for him to say it. He lives in Melbourne. And my answer to Eddie is, mate, we had nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
We had nowhere else to go. And people say, oh, you know, they're going to come out. Kids are still kids. I know they get distracted and there's unemployment and there's all that sort of thing and distractions with play stations and all that sort of thing. And there's a lot of issues. But I will defy anyone to say that if you put a team in there, that it will be unbelievable for grassroots because we've been through it. You tap Mum on the shoulder and say, Mum, can you take me to Auskick? And can you go down to the Launceston Sports Store and buy me a Tassie jumper? And that's where it starts again. Now, there might be a bit of a hiatus. There might be a gap. But when these 5 and 6 and 7-year-olds are 12, as you know, Will, they're only 5 years away from going or 4 years of going into an underage program at under 16s or under 15s and then into what we call the old Mariners, you know, the Tassie Devils, the underage. They're not far away. And it'll happen very, very quickly. And I can see the growth of the game, the growth of the clubs. And I read tonight, East Devonport, right? Okay, I don't want to get political. State league stopped. We'll go back to regional. The first thing East Devonport said, we want to be part of this.
Yep.
That famous club, Graham Lee, Gypsy Lee and Darryl Border came from that club. And they want to be part of the new revitalised NWFU. Their own academies and their own coach, I like it. I actually like it.
So, Shorey, you probably answered my question then because we've seen here locally those TSL clubs in the south are all for it. I think everyone's all for the AFL team in footy circles, but the south have been very positive towards going back to regional. The two clubs up here in the north are staunch critics of going back to regional and think we need the state league. I suppose my question was personally, where are you? Do you see it as a good thing or detrimental
look,
this disbandment?
I've had plenty to say, but I defer this because I'm not on the ground. I'm not the expert.
Yep.
I'm not, you know, and I can see why it can work, because you would set up three academies in the three regions. You would have your three competitions. Could even go back to competing against each other at intrastate level again.
You're not in our group chat, are you? These are all our ideas as well.
You listened to our podcast last week, didn't you? Who we brainstormed.
Yeah, you've got to have great coaching. It gives jobs to coaches in the regions. It's a bit like the old Mariners and all that sort of thing, where you had the three regions. That was quite difficult because you've got to be run locally. I found it really difficult to travel to Wynyard from Hobart to take a coaching course, or, you know, to be up and down the... So you'd have really qualified people. When you get coaches coming back to do that, you'll get out East Devonport back. Who else is out of the competition?
Devonport, Ulverston, Burnie, Wynyard.
You could pull it off. You know, you get long. You have a strong NTFA. Nothing against Roach Lee and Hillwood and these sort of clubs that are fantastic. But you might get that beautiful football club, that beautiful place down over the side. Like you might get Scottsdale back into it. You get Longford back into it. I haven't looked at the arguments against, because not because I don't want to. And I've got amazing respect about what North Launceston and Launceston have done, but I'm not across it. So all I've done is comment on how it could revitalise. And if you do get your academies, sides of the state league, was that the kid at Burnie that had to play for the Burn. Let's go back a bit. Burnie Hawks versus Clarence North Hobart, right? He had to take a day off work, didn't he?
Yeah.
And you can't do that.
Yep.
He's an apprenticed electrician working for someone at the Burnie Electric. I've got a bus at 9 o'clock on Friday to go to Hobart. Comes back, he's injured, he's banged up, he rings up Monday. I'm too sore, I've got a broken finger. There's 2 days off work. Son, you have a spell, I'll find someone else.
Yeah.
You'll be able to play for East Devonport and keep your job.
Yep.
Am I right there, Will?
Yeah, absolutely. So the follow, and I know that you're at arm's length in commentating and stuff, but does that then, are we trying to balance, obviously, the modernity of the line in the sand opportunity here with what we have to change, but the balance of people are scared of change and the history and culture that we actually have in local leagues and stuff?
Yeah, I don't know. I just think for every kid, there's so many kids that would have walked out because the state league wasn't. Wouldn't there be?
Yeah,
there would be a lot.
I just can't do it.
I don't want to travel. You know, North Hobart versus Smithton at Smithton.
Well, you could.
Good God, you know, hell, that's a tough gig.
Kids these days can now earn more money playing reserves for their club down the road than what they can driving themselves to play state league top football, train 3 nights a week, be on a bus all the day down to Kingborough and stuff. Their remuneration just isn't there. So, and as well as everyone's busy. So time is such a precious commodity these days.
Well, you've answered your... But out of respect, that's all I'll say, because... I want to tomorrow go on the websites and that, and read North and also Launceston's version of it. And of course,
they were very passionate about it. But I suppose my argument to that is, for any talented youth who wants to have a go, they were the only two avenues. You know, anyone from the north of the state, they had two opportunities. So Thane's sort of come out and he's passionate about it, and I get that for North Launceston.
Yeah.
Said, you know, this is how many kids we've put into the Tassie system, the AFL system and the VFL system, but that's because that was the only opportunity, that was the only club that had that chance. Now, if we've got a healthy comp in the northwest, a healthy comp in the north and one in the south, more clubs are going to have more opportunities to get those players into the Devils program, into the VFL program, and we'll see a better spread, and the money will be spread amongst more clubs. So I think it's going to be a great thing.
Okay, that's fantastic. You haven't asked me about the the stadium?
I have a question. I have a question right here for you, Shorey. It's
They haven't protested already.
Well, how important is a modern state-of-the-art facility for a new Tasmania AFL team?
Well, they're going to put $120 million into York Park. So that automatically goes from a very good stadium with the best surface into an absolute elite first class with training facilities, high-performance centres, sensational. The debate is that there's 3 kilometres between Bellarive, my old club when I captain coach Clarence,
and, of course,
the new stadium. The arguments are pretty clear about the size of the ground, the parking, the one road in, the transport, the Tasman Bridge, and also the fact, look, what I like is, and the argument is, the devil is in the detail, right? So, you tick off York Park, sensational, right? The second part, you tick off and you get this done. We don't know how long it'll be done. There's a protest this weekend in Parliament Gardens about it. So the people that want to hold Tasmania back, they'll protest and all that. But see, if you have that stadium, people are saying, oh, building that for 6 games a year, 6 in Hobart, 5 in Launceston, 7 in the next year. So what I think will happen, knowing the AFL, they'll want the successful.
Yep.
So in the first 3 years, the fixture will have round one, because of Baldock, Stewart, Bonnie, John Bingley, Grant, you will have, and in the north of the state, I'm tipping now round one, 2028, Tasmania versus St Kilda at York Park. Mate, a bit better than bigger than what it is, because at the moment, my fear is... the stadiums aren't big enough.
G'day, footy fans. It's Wildus from Way Out in the Wing here. Now, I know Worm thinks that I'm not really pulling my weight on the podcast, but trust me, I'm always working behind the scenes. But enough about that. If you want even more footy banter and exclusive content, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok at Way Out Wing. I'll make sure to keep Worm in check and provide my one-of-a-kind perspective. So, come on, join the conversation, follow us on social media, at Way Out Wing.
Shorey, there was a great article in the ABC News yesterday about the stadium and the reasons for it and how the arguments were it's currently okay for AFL with North Melbourne, but North Melbourne play, it's their second home. They play the low supporter base teams.
Yeah.
Maximum capacity is 19,000. We'll fill that 2 times over with the number
of members we're
going to have. So I can sort of see their argument purely from a financial point of view, but, you know, we don't want to be in this. We don't want to be in the AFL just to be like GWS not GWS because they've competed in a granny, but Gold Coast. We don't want to be there for numbers. If we're going to go in, let's bloody win the thing. Let's aim for premierships.
Exactly.
And we need the facilities.
Gold Coast have got 22,000 members.
No, it's we'll get not that even.
We'll get that at the first training session.
Agreed.
And don't give me this rubbish, about... Okay, just say Will Tatchell from Launceston has been a lifelong Collingwood supporter all his life, right? Okay, Will, and your team
Carlton supporter, sure, like you, but...
Yeah. Okay, well, it doesn't matter. Okay, so just Tasmania, round five at the Hobart Stadium. Oh, I'm not going to travel. Mate, people will come from everywhere because they're not only supporting Tasmania... A once-in-a-life opportunity to watch Collingwood or Carlton Reston play live.
Mate,
they're going to leave from the northwest coast on Wednesday and camp overnight. People don't understand. And also the other issue you got, which is a problem, is that Melbourne people travel.
Yep.
They look at the fixture. This is how it works. They'll look at the fixture. Essendon people look at the fixture. Oh, round seven. Essendon, we're playing down in Tassie. Righto, okay. Oh, you beauty, it's school holidays. Right, Wednesday, book the boat, we'll hire a car, We'll go to Cradle Mountain. Then we'll go fishing. We'll go over and have a look at Fraser Nay and walk around Wine Class Bay. We'll work our way down to Hobart. We'll have dinner at Salamanca Park. And guess what? We've got the footy tomorrow.
Yep.
And not only will they do that in their hundreds, they'll do it in their thousands. So, and these people are providing work, they're providing infrastructure, and they're bringing money into the economy. Like, I think people don't understand, if this is done well, and there's no reason to think it won't, how big this will be. Like,
I don't think a 23,000 seat stadium is big enough, Shorey.
It's not. I just said that. Mate, you'll feel that. Mate, you'll feel that with Tassie members. Where are the Collingwood supporters are coming that are coming to Tasmania? Where are the Collingwood supporters going to go that actually live in Tasmania? Like, people aren't going to give up their clubs, right? I don't think people will give up their clubs unless there's a financial difficulty. If you're a Collingwood member for 25 years, you're not going to ditch them, I don't think. I'm not going to ditch Essendon, but the first thing I'll do is become a foundation member,
dual member,
and buy a reserve seat.
Yep. And same here.
Yeah, everyone will. I actually agree with you. But the other thing that I want to stress is the negative people say an AFL stadium. Okay, there's devil in the detail. It is a multi-purpose centre, right? Now, there's a very good reason, and I know, one of them's your age group, but the other bloke's my age group. There's a very good reason why Bruce Springsteen doesn't come to Tasmania when he's only an hour away. There's a very good reason why Ed Sheeran won't come to Tasmania. There's a very good reason we don't get World Cup qualifiers. We don't get A-League games. We do get cricket because we've got a cricket ground. What else could we have? We could have a Bledisloe Cup game. My God.
Trade shows, concerts. Any type of event, really. If we have a roof over it, any type of event,
20,000. Mate, imagine. I know it's out of your culture, but it's right in my hitting zone. Mate, imagine the last tour of AC/DC, and they come to Hobart.
We were there.
That's right in my wheelhouse, Shorey.
Mate, imagine if they came to Tasmania. You do not have a facility big enough.
Well, I saw too many bogans.
I saw them at the TCA ground up there, and that was pretty good, but I'd like to see them at the new arena.
Mate, imagine going back to back with ACDC 1 week and Collingwood the rest. Oh.
There'd
be cars up on bricks everywhere around the state.
You're absolutely right. Lock up your daughters. ACDC, Collingwood, Covenant. But that's what I hope. That won't happen the first week. But major events, and I'm talking both. And I'm saying that the AFL, in their wisdom, because they run the fixture, they're going to invite the big teams. They want this to be successful. So 1 week, round one at St Kilda at York Park. Round three, Essendon at the stadium. Round five, Hawthorn back to their old hunting ground. And that's how they'll do it. I can't see the reason why Tasmania should play host to Fremantle 5 or 6 hours away. Yep. There's
agreed.
No point.
We've done that.
Well, and you just said it. Nothing against these clubs. Come on. But North Melbourne versus Fremantle or Tasmania versus Essendon? Give us a spell.
Well, the Essendon supporters have already shown that, or the football public, with that game at York Park last year.
Mm. And Essendon versus, mate, the Midlands Highway, you couldn't get a car park. And don't forget, that game sold out. It was either 3 minutes or 90 seconds. And, you know, because people are crying out for quality.
And I was there, and what were there 15,000 people in there? It sounded like 35,000-40,000 people.
Awesome.
But because it was a football educated crowd, it wasn't an event. People weren't going there just because it was something on. They were there because they supported it. They knew the game and the ebbs and flows in the crowd. You could feel it. Someone holding the ball, someone running up the wing being chased. The crowd lived it.
And, mate, I think we're going to, as I say, do it properly. And you won't shock the And the other thing, and this is no disrespect to our Tassie team, all the clubs will want to come to Hobart and Launceston to play Tassie, right? They're going to get a good dividend out of it. But you know why they'll want to do that? Because they know they'll win.
Yep. At this stage, this far out, they think that.
We'll get
them. They think that,
we'll
yeah.
Get them.
And,
we'll get them.
And mate, imagine coming to play, they'll get the shit punched out of them. Like, and you're talking about passion. If these blokes really come and play for the jump and play for Tassie, which I've got no doubt they will, mate, that they're going to actually, because I live over here, I know how much people are talking about this over here. So don't worry about the people camped on the lawns on Saturday morning. The people over here are that excited on social media. This is my – I've waited so long. I'm a Collingwood supporter, but this is going to be my second team. And the groundswell of support is quite extraordinary over here because they're all rusted on footy people. Sure. They know their footy.
Shorey, Wildus and I are going to go down and camp, but we're going to actually line up. We want the first tickets.
We're starting up, lining up next week. We're going to help with the build, going to tent up.
We'll do whatever we'll do whatever
the first
we can.
Ones on there.
Shorey.
I don't know how you're going to get in.
That's why we're
knowing
going.
Knowing the passion of these people, it's a derogatory term, but, mate, they're lunatics about their footy. They're passionate lunatics that... Like, my partner now, she's in Adelaide visiting a girlfriend. She packed up and drove to Adelaide and going to Brisbane next week.
Is that because she knew you were going to talk to us about Tassie footy?
Yeah, and had to leave the room, correct. And then, like, mate, they just look at a fixture and say, oh, I haven't been to Adelaide Oval. Like, it'll be a hot...
Yeah, yep. Oh, you just dropped out on a Shorey. Oh, no, we haven't lost him, have we? He's still there, mate?
There he is.
Oh,
hang
on.
Back.
We've sort of
he's
got
back.
Your half back. Optus are not giving us... They've given us
you
love.
There?
Yeah,
there
we got you now.
What'd you got? You duck in the loo, mate.
You'll have to edit that a bit, but that's okay.
Optus were very kind to us for 45 minutes.
Yeah, they've done well. Hey, Shorey, just a couple of quick ones, mate. You started one of my favourite Facebook groups or forums a couple of years ago, the Tasmanian Footballers and Officials Past and Present. God, I love getting on there and looking at the nostalgia and everything. Did you ever think that group was going to take off the way it did?
Well, we did that because of the sickness that some of our members got with COVID and also the isolation, people living at home. So I just started it with... a few of my mates, David Charlesworth, that I grew up with in Lindisfarne, and also Damien Dillon, who were on the verge of hopefully getting a museum,
in the museum, in the stadium.
So we're well down the track that. And look, it's 6,500 members. Look, it goes offline a little bit, and people use it as a social media forum, but we knocked that on the head. It is a family history. It's a chance for... their granddaughters, look at 20% female on there, that the ladies want to put their grandfather's blazer up. You know, we find things. We keep in contact, and it's a great rapport. We're pretty hard on people that abuse or disrespectful to elements of Tasmanian football or swear or whatever. We just remove them or remove their comments. But I'm very proud of that, and... It's a pretty big group.
Yeah, it's great.
And it's hopefully it's all like-minded. You're not going to win the hearts and minds of all. And some come on and use it as a political forum and bag us. But that's okay if I had to put up a thing the other day. If you want to debate about the stadium, I'll let you. But it can't be abusive. Give me your reasons why you don't want it. Give me your reasons. So, yeah, we'll just keep going with that and hopefully when that Carter, Colin Carter did the report, remember the Carter report that said Tassie's, he rang me and he said, you've got 6,000 Tasmanians there. He was quite surprised. I said, well, that's nothing. Wait till you get their own team. Just give them their team. And anyway, all right.
Shorey, I haven't seen any of your 1980 Scanlon footy cards on the forum though, on display. You got any of those tucked away, mate? Limited edition?
I have got my grandkids who got them. Mate, there's one. Yeah, they're not bad. There's one when I was 17. There's one looks like I was in a mugshot out of Pentridge, Joe.
I have seen that floating around, actually.
Yeah, I don't like that one. I don't like that one. I've got my personal pride in my looks, but no, that's an absolute shocker from about, I reckon that's about 79, that one. And yeah, no, they're hanging around. Anyway.
Mate, I wasn't sure how much time we'd have with you, and we're going to get you back on to talk yeah. footy and your general days. I did a bit of digging through China and Tim earlier on, as well as Roger Curtis, another life member down there at Clarence. So I've got a bit of dirt on you, but we'll bring that out for another episode, mate.
No, you won't.
I want to go back. 1990, you got 18,000 people crammed into North Hobart to watch Tassie beat the Vicks by 33 points. You were the mastermind. What are your, you know, one or two fondest memories of that day, or could be the night?
Well, that was about 33 years ago. Well, to me, that was a plan. There was a lot of talk about, you know, Adelaide were about to come in the competition, Port Adelaide were trying to get in the competition. So it was very much built around what does the competition look like. And the discussions were, I wanted to showcase, I didn't know whether we could win, but I know what I wanted to do as a coach, and that is showcase, because it was, the game was being wrought around Australia. So not only did I want to showcase the jumper and all that, I wanted to showcase all these young players. And you've got to remember, they were really young. Hudson, Trent Nichols, John McCarthy, Lynchy, Michael Gale, Pritchard. They were really, really young players. Some of them were actually in VFL seconds, AFL seconds. And naturally, Tassie being Tassie, there was quite a bit of criticism. Oh, he's overlooked our local players for the AFL seconds. Yeah, well, I just wanted to showcase the future. I think the ratio, I think we had 7 locals and 16 AFL base players from Melbourne. I reckon that's a pretty good Wadey played, and Danny Noonan played, Todd Spearman played.
Yeah.
It was a really good balance, 1-4, 1-3, and I thought that was fair, and made Pritchard the captain. That was one of my better calls, I feel. I like that call. I just had a, you know, coming from Hawthorn, coming from Sandy Bay, his presence, his obviously ability. And then you had, you know, the aging veteran, Scotty Clayton, just taking care of Terry Wallace in the centre for us. That was really important. And then and they just exploded in the second half showed what we could do. And I was hopeful that would provide an impetus, but quite interestingly, I don't know what happened. We played Victoria the next year, and we were leading comfortably three-quarter time, and Kenny Hinkley, the Port Adelaide coach, kicked 4 in the last quarter and got him over the line, which was a pity. Now, okay, so we've got 18,000 one year and 17 or 16 the next year. We think we're going okay at North Hobart. I don't know why it was moved to Bell Reef. And playing against the Northern Territory, Queensland.
Yeah.
It was like, these blokes are going too good here. You with me?
Yeah.
You know, we'll put them over at Bell Reef, and they won't play Victoria anymore. Nothing against, we got beaten quite fair and square by Northern Territory and Queensland. You know, Buckley, Michael Long, Rioli, they had a great side, right? So nothing with that, but no one's ever been able to tell me why we went to Bell Reef, away from our spiritual home, and why we weren't playing Victoria anymore. Right. So the conspiracy theories are out there, is that we've got to get these blokes off the stage, right? They're dominating. Get them off the stage, for goodness sake. And that's a conspiracy theory without any foundation, but I don't know why we went there. Why?
Who was the chairman of the AFL at that time? Was that... Ian Collins? No.
Collins, Ross Oakley, they were all in there. I don't know who the chairman was. No. They were the operations folks.
We might do a bit of digging and see what we can find out. I'd like to get to the bottom of that, because I don't think it should be underestimated that what that 1990 matched, where it sits in the in the vernacular of the Tasmanian supporter. It was a wonderful effort, and for you to be front and centre, I think you'd be very proud and should be very proud of that. Shorey, mate, as we alluded to, we will get you back on at another time. You'd be pleased to know that...
Ross Oakley
it was, all right. You'd be pleased to know that I've actually got my old Mariners jumper sitting in my lap in front of me. It's one bit of football item that I've never got rid of, which I think you'd...
Good on you. Good like on to. You. Well, as long as that's not the design of the new day.
I doubt it will be. I'm not sure if I can fit into it anymore either, so I won't be modelling it either. Mate.
Well, I hope to catch up with you guys sometime in
It will continue
in the members bar at the York Park Stadium.
Oh, either that or the Robert Shaw bar at the new stadium.
Yeah, we'll make it the Past Players Bar.
I like
NWFU, NTFA, TFL. There's a bar at York Park for all past players.
Ooh, I love it. That.
I wonder
like
if
that.
They'll think about that. I wonder if they're.
They will now. We'll run with it. Pretty hard.
See
pretty
you, boys.
Hard.
Thanks for the
Shorey,
chat.
Thank you, mate. Thanks, appreciate your time on Way Out in the Wing. We'll chat soon.
See ya.
See
on
ya.
On that wing. See you on the wing. Bye.
Well, there you go. Did Shorey know that I was on this call as well?
You know, the reputation precedes you or me or whichever way you want to look at it. What a legend. Very passionate, and it comes across quite clearly. But...
If you enjoyed this chat on Way Out in the Wing, make sure you like and subscribe to the Way Out in the Wing podcast channel so you never miss another entertaining episode, neglect an exclusive interview, or forget what games you should be seeing this footy season. Listen, like and subscribe to the channel now.